Good morning. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'm going to be dealing with the first 11 verses, and I'm going to speak this morning on the subject of no dominion. Now, the gospel reveals the only effectual method of justification, and it alone secures the sanctification of men by being blessed by the Spirit of God. Now, the truth, or the doctrine of justification by faith, has one major objection from the carnal mind, that is, against this gospel of the free and sovereign grace of God. And that objection is this, that it allows men to live in sin that grace may abound. Now, Paul the Apostle, in the last verse of the fifth chapter, had said this, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. One would think, if we're justified totally by the grace of God alone, apart from any work whatsoever to merit salvation before God, what's to keep us from continuing in sin? If one would think, where sin is the worst, and God's grace abounds and is glorified in the forgiveness of sin, well, why shouldn't we sin more, that grace might be glorified more? Well, Paul, in the second verse of the sixth chapter, answers and says this, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God forbid. This is an expression of shock to such a thought. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live in sin? Deliverance from sin by Christ is not only from its penalty, but also from its power. Justification by grace and believed by faith is not a license to sin. Paul said, how shall we that are dead to sin? Now, what does that mean to be dead to sin? Well, first of all, I know that it does not mean this. We're not dead as far as its influence. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 15, Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. And what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And in the 19th verse, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. What he's saying is this, the things that I know I shouldn't do, those are the things I do. And what I should be doing, I'm not doing. So we're not dead as to its influence. And we're certainly not dead as to its presence. In Romans 7:21, Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We're not dead as to its effects. In that same chapter, Romans 7, verse 24, Paul concludes himself, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But to say that we're dead to sin, what does that mean? Well, the Scripture reveals that we are, that is, those for whom Christ has died, we are dead as to its penalty, as to its guilt, as to its power to condemn. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 33 and 34, the Scripture says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. A man is said to live unto sin when it is his pleasure, his delight, and there's no desire of resistance to it. It's justified in his carnal mind. The believer's joy is to be like Christ and not like the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And then back in our text, in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." If we've been baptized into Jesus, what does that mean? It means to be brought into union with him. Then, if that's so, then we were baptized into his death. That is, when Christ died, we died. If Almighty God has placed us in Christ, chosen us in Christ from the foundation of the world, and God has done that for a people. Ephesians 1 states that. If we've been baptized into Jesus, then we were baptized into his death. What significance does that have? Why, it means when Christ died under the judgment of Almighty God, his people died. The wages of sin is death. So if a man be in Christ, when Christ died, God's wrath has already been spewed out upon a man. We have had judgment put upon us in Christ. This is the result of being made one with him. We were baptized spiritually into him, united with him in his death, that we might be partakers of his death, that is, its benefits. His death is our death, ours, as to the putting away of sin. Therefore, when we were baptized, we were confessing, I'm talking about water baptism now, we're confessing that we're identified with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We're dead, Paul says, to the old life, to its power to damn our soul. We're buried with Christ, and we rise to walk as new creatures with a new heart now that longs after God's honor and God's glory. We have new principles. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 8, the scripture says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win him, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." We do not, that is, believers, enjoy the benefits of his death unless we're partakers of the power of his life. If a man has been associated with Christ in death, then that man has a new walk, has a new thought, has a new love toward Almighty God. He's not an antinomian. You say, what is that? Well, that's one who thinks that the benefits of the atonement of Christ can be enjoyed without experiencing the renewing of the Spirit of God. This is contrary to the design of true redemption. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ assure the justification and the sanctification of God's elect. And then Paul says he was raised by the glory of the Father. This speaks of God's omnipotence, his power to raise Christ from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says that Christ was raised by God. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself said that he has power to lay down his life and to take it again. This declares his deity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Man does not have power to lay down his life or to take it again, only Christ. We are walking, Paul says, in newness of life, that is, compared to that old, original, natural life. This is the life which with the old man is constantly warring and fighting. Paul says in verse 5, "If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." If we've truly been made one with him in death, that is, associated with him in death, then we shall walk in the newness of life. We're no longer under the control of sin and self, but under the power and influence of the Spirit of God. Paul says, knowing or experiencing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that old corrupt nature, that nature received from Adam, that nature that's corrupt in its will, in its affection, in its action, we know this, if we've been crucified with him, associated with him, that old nature that can never be improved, that old nature that must be destroyed, that old nature that truly must be crucified daily by the Spirit and grace of Christ from its reigning power, if we've been crucified with him that way, associated with him, we shall walk in the newness of life. It does remain with us, that is, that old nature, the presence of it until death, but we're not to indulge it or to make provision for it, but to crucify it. Crucify, Paul says, this body of sin that by nature we're slaves to. By nature, it has power, that is, sin, over all the sons of Adam and demands and gets obedience in spite of any resistance, even the will. It's a bondage that finds deliverance only when the inward principle of evil that possesses our nature is put to death. It's called a body of sin because it manifests itself in so many different ways. The believer, Paul says in verse 7, is freed from the dominion of sin. Paul has just said that we should not serve or continue in unchecked service of sin. Why? Because he who has died with Christ is justified against the power of the dominion of sin. Justification from sin is deliverance from sin. There's a judicial and an experiential. We are justified before God's law, but we're sanctified. Well, in conclusion, if we're one with him in death, we have a sure hope of being one with him in eternal life. Death has no more dominion over Christ or his people. He submitted to it for our sakes. He died unto sin once. The law has been satisfied and has no further penalty to inflict on those in Christ. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. Call yourself what God calls you. Well, I thank you for listening. And I invite you now to tune to Nashville 58 WNAB and hear Brother Henry Mahan preach a message on the free and sovereign grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And until next week, God bless you.